Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. Your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Leaf Sky Podcast. Here's your host, Jim Taddy.
All right. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that fine introduction. Welcome to Leafs Guy, episode 142. Jim Taddy with you for the next half hour or so. Our guest today, Terry Koshan from the Toronto Sun, talking about the Leafs as they clear the deadline and get ready for the stretch run. And where does all this go? Plenty to deal with. Before we get going, bet the action on the ice with the DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now. Use the code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. The code is THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for complete details. All right, on to the hockey story. The sample size is one game in Montreal, a 3-2 win over the Habs. That's the only game the Leafs have played since the trade deadline. Their next action is Thursday night in Philadelphia, and then they go on Saturday at home to Carolina before the action picks up the following week. Ladies and gentlemen, the stretch run is here. There's no question about it. And so we have to ask the musical question. Is the acquisition of Connor Dewar, Edmondson on the blue line, and previously Nabushkin on the blue line, is that enough to push this team over the top? Don't really know. It's going to be fun to watch. And, of course, we have to prepare ourselves for if it goes south fast, what are the ramifications? How does this Leafs team move forward? If it does somehow find a way to have playoff success, what does that mean? Intriguing stuff, to say the very least, and we deal with all of that in our conversation with Terry Koshan from the Toronto Sun. Terry, going to use this as a sort of a therapy session, because when I look at this year's Leafs team, as opposed to other configurations going back 3 to 4 years, I seem to know less about where this is going than the other years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree. And Jim, you know, if I knew this was going to be a therapy session, I'd be lying on my couch right now, but I'm sitting straight up.
I would have said, how do you feel about that?
Actually, more, how do you feel about it? Anyway, I would say that. Look, there are 18 games left, 9 at home, 9 on the road, over 35 days once they hit the ice in Philly on Thursday. So a lot of hockey, more or less a piece of every other night. It's still some things to figure out. It's an interesting scenario, Jim. They're in third place in the Atlantic, and I think we would agree that they're probably not going to budge from there. They're too far behind the Boston Bruins and Florida Panthers to move up, and they're enough up on the Tampa Bay Lightning and Detroit Red Wings to move down. So they are where they are, but that doesn't mean you still have some question marks about the club. Who's the starting goalie going to be? We don't know that yet. If the plan or the preferred plan on the part of the Leafs is it to be Joseph Woll, well, Ilya Samsonov is having to say something about that. It has been for a while now. So, you know, if it winds up being Samsonov, that's fine. But that still has to be ironed out. The penalty kill has to get some bumps out. That doesn't mean they're going to. You know, we see with Mitch Marner out now, Bertuzzi back on a line with Austin Matthews and Nylander on the right. Does that stay together when Marner comes back? I don't think so. But is Bertuzzi on the top line? Is it Knies back up there again? You know, how does Connor Dewar fit into this bottom six in the long run? What's the future for Ryan Reeves? Will he be a playoff performer for the Leafs? So I haven't touched on all of it. Defense, we could look at that too, I guess. But there is – the Leafs are in a good spot in that they're not going to move up or down in the standings. That's pretty solid, Jim. But there are some things for Sheldon Keefe and his coaching staff to figure out. And that's a good thing too in the sense that where they are in the standings, you're not worried about your spot. And this team, as you and I have talked about in the past, has shown a good habit of figuring things out on the fly and winning hockey games.
You know, they keep developing new looks, which I think is a really good thing. And so the latest new look is camp centering McMahon and Knies. And for the first time, I think you would agree with me, to have two wingers with physical edge on one line is new, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and again, but that's what you want in that bottom six, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I just want to touch on Matthew Knies for a sec, Jim, because you might look at his stats. I think he has 10 goals right now, whatever it is around there. Say, ah, well, he's played on the top line all year, and why hasn't he produced more? I look at it the other way. He's played against, as a 21-year-old, the top competition in the league for the most part on that line with Marner and Matthews for much of the year, and he's more than held his head above water. This will only put him in good stead going forward in the future, and I think he's had a fine season in that regard. But to have him and the other two on that line, you know, I'm still not sure I want David Kampf, playing more than fourth line minutes as a center because I just don't see the offensive side of it. But to have the physicality that those guys bring, that's what your bottom six is supposed to do. And certainly the Leafs could use more of that. But again, that's for right now. You know, barring further injuries, we'll see how long Mitch Marner is out. You know, where do these things all settle? But like you say, very small sample size, one game, that Kampf line looked all right.
Yeah, it did. And so maybe you could move Domi back in there. Who knows? I mean, yeah. But they have other options. I kind of like that. I guess, you know, I'm going to go to the big picture now. The big picture for me is the constant battle when you've got forwards, and forget about the salary, but of this caliber, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, and Tavares, the constant struggle to find people to play with those guys and support them, it's just remarkable because it goes right back to when they first showed up.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, again, we're talking about, I don't think those are major problems or issues. We have to remind ourselves of where they are in the standings. You know, I would think that the Leafs are going to wind up with 100 points again, Jim. So we're talking about things in a hockey team where they are still able to get things done as they are figuring these things out. But, you know, it's on a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi now to really make this work. He scored a bit recently. He had the hat trick, of course, on his birthday. But now he's got to find that consistency. And we keep hearing about, okay, well, Bertuzzi's the type of guy you want to have in the playoffs and that type of player. And there can be a little bit of nastiness there and all that sort of thing. He fought the other night. I like that. He's got to keep doing, not keep fighting, but keep bringing that scrappiness. But at the same time, scoring with a little more consistency and authority. So, you know, with Matthews and Marner, you're getting, you know, prolific offensive play, defensive play each and every night for the most part. I think a bit of a question mark for me and for a lot of people right now is John Tavares. We saw what he was doing when he and Domi had flipped the center ice positions on those two lines, or when Keith had flipped them, sorry, in the past few weeks. I thought Tavares was more effective there with, McMahon and Cali Yarncroc. And, you know, once the dust settles, is that something that Keith returns to? It could very well be. And Domi's an interesting one. He's putting up some nice points. I thought he's still a good playmaker in the middle, but there is a defensive liability there that you're not going to solve now in the last 18 games in the playoffs. So like you say, there are questions, but as far as who winds up on those top lines on the wings, it's going to be a combination of Knies or Bertuzzi, I would think, and you have to live with it. There was nothing that Brad Treliving could have done to improve that area at the trade deadline. And, going forward, we'll see if he can do that. But that's what they have now. And certainly, Jim, I don't want to present it as this is what they're stuck with because I don't see it that way.
Yeah, and you open up a door there when you get to referring to where Tavares plays and where Domi plays because clearly, and I agree with you, they're going to finish where they are. And so likelihood is pretty strong they're going to play Boston in the first round. And then you go to matchups. And down the middle, on line matchups, especially in a road game, it doesn't favor the Leafs at all. In fact, it's a struggle.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny, eh? Bergeron retires. Krejci's gone out of Boston last summer. And we're thinking, okay, well, what are they going to do up the middle? Charlie Coyle's been really good for them. Zaka's come in and played well. So you know, the Bruins just don't miss a beat. They just don't. And, you know, the winning hockey games and keeping, you know, nipping at the heels of the Panthers. And, yeah, we assume it's going to be the Bruins, the Leafs play. But really, I think the Bruins and Panthers play a couple more times against each other. So there's a couple of massive games with the standings and everything. And they're, what, a point apart. So maybe not safe yet to assume that it is going to be Boston. But if it is, I mean, you know, no matter who you play, the Bruins or the Panthers, you're going to have – Keith is going to have those challenges no matter what on the road to start, either way. So, you know, it's something that it'll be come down to a chess match, if you will, Jim. Like we've seen in the past with him. And he, you know, he won that chess match against John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning last year in six games in the first round. Not so well against Paul Maurice in the second round in Florida, losing in five. So we'll see if that experience helps take him forward. But either way, it's going to, those things are a challenge in the playoffs. And you're getting, especially in the Leafs division, right? You're finishing in a top three and the two teams ahead of you among the top teams overall. And that's just the way it is. But you know, if you can ever come out of that Atlantic division, it'll put you that much better into the conference final, the cup final. But yeah, like I say, that challenge up the middle is going to be there no matter who the Leafs play and no matter who they have in the middle.
Okay, totally unfair question, I admit, because there's only one game for a sample size, the game against Montreal, a 3-2 win on Saturday since the trade deadline. But the ultimate question, adding Duer, Edmondson, and earlier Labushkin, is this enough to push this team forward?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, listen, the changes that they've made, there's no guarantee you even win the first round. So yeah, maybe it is, but I off the hop, I say no. I mean, it was an underwhelming trade deadline for Brad Treliving. That's all there is to it. Especially when you see what more now, more in the West with the teams added there, but you know, everyone's seemingly loading up. But you know, the additions of Labushkin and Edmondson give you the Leafs give them, you know, some more bite in the blue line. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But you know, both the Boston Bruins and Florida Panthers have been through the ringer in the playoffs, Jim. And you know, I'm sorry, but if I like what Edmondson brings, let me say that. But if we think that he's going to be the tipping factor of scaring opponents with a net front presence against either one of those two teams that I just mentioned, especially Florida, where, you know, I think battles with Kachuk in front, Matthew Kachuk in front of that can be kind of legendary. He's not going to intimidate these teams. But again, it's something the Leafs needed. So you go from there. Duer is a fourth line guy that's going to, you know, he was averaging over 2 minutes on the kill in Minnesota. And Ryan Reeves is telling us yesterday he was really good at that. Just a good, you know, not a big guy, of course, but a good, scrappy, you know, hardworking, hard-nosed guy. Doesn't mind getting his nose dirty, whether he drops the gloves or in other ways. So I like that addition. But again, we're talking about a fourth liner. And as you and I have said in the past, what's going to lead the Leafs to any success that they have? The people that were already there. Brad Treliving alluded to that. If they're going to go anywhere, those guys will have to be the leaders. But, you know, his hands are tied to the deadline, Jim. When he makes the decision that I'm not trading Cowan, I'm not trading Fraser Mitton, the first-round pick is not going out the door for a rental, well, this is what you're left with when you're that hard up against the cap, right, is just adding around the edges. So we'll see how it plays out. But, no, I don't think it puts the Leafs over any type of edge at all.
In fact, when I look at these three names, I think they're nice adds. I wish they were there earlier in the season and then they could add to that. That's how I feel about it.
Well, yeah, true. And, you know, so if that happens early in the season, then we don't see the emergence. And this is where this whole the trade deadline thing and how it impacts the lineup gets interesting to me, is that we don't see emergence of a guy like Simone Benoit, who's been really good for them. So now suddenly Benoit is not in the lineup in Montreal. So you're fitting a new guy into the lineup in Edmondson and Montreal without a practice. You're keeping Liljegren in the lineup, even though he's had struggles. And you're looking at a guy like Benoit, who's really, I don't want to go so far as to say unsung hero for them, Jim, but he has had elements of that in his game. And now you're saying, okay, well, suck it up. You're not playing. Where does that go from here? Is he done with it? I don't think so. You know, Giordano, we now know, is on LTIR. We're not going to see him for a few weeks. But if you're Benoit, you can't be thrilled about it. You bite your tongue and keep going, I suppose. But, you know, we'll see how it all ends up. But I guess the positive for Benoit and the Leafs is that they now know, with lots of proof, that he's a really good option for them. And, you know, I think we'll see him back in there before too long.
Yeah, and when they acquired Edmondson, I sort of figured that he's in a rotation with Benoit and Liljegren, but with Edmondson playing every night. The question is, who sits, Benoit or Liljegren? And obviously, there's a righty-lefty situation there that complicates it, but that's the way I see it. And again, I guess you have to ask yourself, is this enough? And against Boston in Florida, probably not.
No, I just don't see it being that way. I mean, if you get by one, you'll likely have to face the other. And like I said, there's no guarantee you get by the first one, no matter whether it's the Bruins or the Panthers. To me, if you're the Leafs, you probably prefer to play the Bruins. I know the regular season record being what it is and all that, but that doesn't matter. If I remember correctly, the Ottawa Senators back in the early 2000s, when the Leafs were coached by Pat Quinn, didn't have much trouble with the Leafs in the regular season. When it got to playoffs, it was a completely different story. So those sort of things can be done. But yeah, I just, you know, it's going to be awfully difficult. And like I said, I mean, it's not, you know, the Panthers made a few good moves. I thought getting Tarasenko and Pozo, the Bruins beef up a bit with getting Patrick Maroon. So they made their additions, but, you know, it's going to be a challenge either way. And, you know, having said that though, Jim, it's a funny thing to kind of predict with these series, because this isn't saying that no matter who the Leafs get, they're going to be out in four or five. I think it's going to go six, seven games, probably no matter who it is.
Yeah.
And then you look at it and say, well, then if it goes to seven games, does game seven not be a toss-up at that point? I suppose, but I just see it being, you know, one of those other clubs coming out, but we'll have to see. Like you said, let's get back to each other, you know, end of April and see where they are.
Yeah, I just find this team is a little more intriguing in terms of trying to figure out where it goes, because they've given us sample sizes of where it all works, and then they've given us the other stuff where you get a little skeptical about where it could go. I mean, clearly, you know, a playoff series takes on a life form of its own, and things happen within, I call it the 4-7 box, that sway it one way or the other. When you're watching the Leafs play in Boston and Nylander turns that puck over, you go in a playoff series, that could not only cost you the game, that could cost you the series. So, and I'm not saying that that will happen, but if it does, we got a problem.
Yeah, you know what? It could, but I think you have to consider that, you know, mistakes can be made on the other side as well. And something like that could just as easily turn the series into the Leafs' favor. And, you know, one thing we know about the playoffs, Jim, is that momentum doesn't really carry over. Really, when no matter what's happened in the series, you know, the puck drop, the opening faceoff of each game, something new could unfold that night. And, you know, I guess to your point, though, you're right. That's when these things become magnified. And, you know, speaking of things that get magnified, the Leafs, you know, one area to me they've got to somehow shore up in the final 18 games is the penalty kill. They're 22nd overall right now. Of the Leafs, of the teams ahead or with them, sorry, in a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, none of them, including Detroit, are lower than 13th on the PK. So what do we talk about in the playoffs that are so integral as with everything else, goaltending and special teams? The Leafs have to find a way to get that right when they're shorthanded. Doer, I suppose, will help, but it is one of the areas that there has to be a focus now going forward. But yeah, you know, like I said, momentum in the playoffs, mistakes like that Nylander made, I guess we can sit here and say, oh, you try to get those out of the game, but they will happen, Jim. Good teams will force you into those. But on the other hand, the Leafs are a good team at forcing teams into those sorts of things as well. And while we tend to dwell on it when it happens to Toronto, we should respect, too, that they can force teams into doing things as well that the opposition doesn't like either.
So not the last time we're going to have this conversation and not the first time we're having it, but it seems to me from what Brad Treliving has said, from what we all know from covering this team for years, that, you know, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, and Morgan Rielly have to push this thing forward. So the ultimate question is, if there's early playoff failure, what happens with those five guys?
You mean they get gone in the first round?
Yeah, let's say in six or less.
Well, never mind those guys. I think that has to be the end for Brendan Shanahan as president, does it not? He's been on the job for almost 10 years now. And at least if that happens, we'll have won one playoff round.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you know, does that new person then have a new general manager? And if that happens too, you know, I think at the least it's probably a coaching change, right? Sheldon Keefe, even though we're recognizing that the challenges that will come in either the Bruins or the Panthers. If it's six games or less, that tells, especially less, and the Leafs lose, that tells me, you know, they were not nearly as good as they thought they were, nor as organized or ready for a series like that, even if it's four losses in overtime, which could happen because we've seen that sort of thing happen in the playoffs. But and then as far as the players go, that would be up to the new guy coming in, if there is a new GM. But having said that, I will say this about Treliving. You know, he has no choice but to hit the ground running really quickly when he's hired last May 31st. And you look at it and go, well, there's still a lot of time before free agency and the deadline and all that. The free agency and the end of the playoffs and time to put his stamp on the team. But really, it was a bit of like a hurry up offense. He had to really get going and probably, and we know, didn't get to do a lot of things he wanted to do. Provided he's still on the job this summer, he's going to have a much longer look at it. Now knows what he has after being in charge for a year and can go about putting his stamp on the team that way. I think, you know, the blue line, for example, lots of changes can come there. You know, plenty of, you know, Riley is under contract into next season. I think McCabe might be the other one, but really there, you know, the potential there for a lot of changes could happen, whether it's Trevor or anybody else, but, you know, we'll see. Mitch Marner eligible for a new contract as of July 1. Where does that go if he's not a performer in the playoffs and Leafs throw it early? Big question mark. But having said that, I don't expect things to happen. I would think, like I said, that initial Leafs series to go at least seven, well, not at least, to go seven games.
Yeah, the way I look at that is, I mean, if there's another playoff failure, it would be consistent playoff failure, which means at some point something has to change, whether it's right at the top, which yeah. I wouldn't disagree with you, or on the roster, or both, and also behind the bench. I think you need fresh eyes to either look at this situation and deal with it or change it immediately.
Yeah, you know, I for sure. And, you know, we should going, you know, even further above Shanahan, Keith Belly taking over at the beginning of April. I mean, he's going to give this a long, hard look as well, I would think, right?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
So, you know, a lot of things come into play. But, yeah, you listen, I guess the best way to answer this, Jim, if that scenario unfolds like you've presented, I see absolutely no way that this team comes back for September 16th or 15th, whatever it is, and training camp starts with the same president, the same GM, the same coach, and the same core. Absolutely not. It's just a matter of who goes where. One person I would take out of that equation is Austin Matthews. He's under contract. You don't get players like that picked off trees. He's just going nowhere. You know, Nylander is supposed the same thing. Tavares, 1 year to go and on his contract, and that's going to be an interesting call for the Maple Leafs too, right, to see where they go with him and whether there's a captaincy change and everything. I don't want to look too far down the road, but like I say, if what you say does happen, there's no way they come back in September the same. Absolutely not. It just can't. They couldn't do it. There'd be no basis to sell that on, and you couldn't look at your fan base and say, suck it up for another year. This is what we got. No.
Yeah, who knows what we're dealing with? That's the, I guess, the ultimate worst case scenario. The best case scenario is they find a spark, they find something, and push through to at least two rounds of the playoffs and maybe more. And it wouldn't be the first time that's happened for somebody. It just doesn't seem to happen here.
No, it wouldn't be. But you know, a lot of those things that we talk about, those teams, those one-off teams that won the Stanley Cup. You know, the St. Louis Blues going back 5 years, a bit of an outlier because they were in last place. At, you know what? At the turn of the calendar before rallying, but
yeah,
a lot of these teams, it took a lot of years to get to that point. Washington, Las Vegas, not so much. I mean, they played their first game and won a cup in the time that Shanahan's been the president here. So what does that tell you? But a lot of these teams, it took a lot of years to get to where they were finally hoisting the cup. And, you know, I'm not saying necessarily what happened to Maple Leafs this year, but you never know. You know, we've seen a lot of these clubs, Binnington in St. Louis, Kemper in Washington, Aiden Hill in Vegas. You get a goalie that looks at it and goes, okay, now's my time. And that time starts around the middle of April. No team can be written off, and that would include the Leafs, whether that's Wall or Samsonov. I think one of them could be capable of that, but we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, soon enough, we'll have the answers to these questions, Jim, but, you know, the intrigue will never stop here, certainly in Toronto, and I don't expect that to be any different this spring.
Yeah, there's two things that just can't be sort of removed from the equation. One is the Toronto Raptors and what they did to win that championship in 2019, firing a coach of the year, trading one of their best players and more popular players of all time, so rolling the dice that way. And the other one is, as you say, Vegas, which was born after the Leafs started the rebuild and have a Stanley Cup. In fact, two trips to the Stanley Cup Finals. And, I mean, that proves it can be done from nothing.
Yeah, and, you know, never mind nothing, but even starting with, like, the Leafs did, Lou Lamoriello's GM and Mike Babcock as coach. You know, you're looking, if you say to, you know, Shanahan, you know, these two, it's not going to work out. Obviously, he wouldn't have believed it when those hirings were happening some, hard to believe, almost 9 years ago now, I guess, this spring and summer. So, you know, it's it can happen, but it doesn't mean that it will. And, you know, that's the kind of the intriguing factor, I guess, for Leafs Nation. And it just, you know, the Leafs aren't doing this in a vacuum where you kind of hope that they're building to something. The Edmonton Oilers would tell you they think that they're doing the same thing. The Dallas Stars would tell you they think that they're doing the same thing. The Carolina Hurricanes, the New York Rangers. So, lots of teams in the same boat as the Maple Leafs, and you know, we'll see where it goes. But you know, it would be a shame if it doesn't happen, because certainly when your starting point was Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and John Tavares in 2018, and then you might have nothing to show for it. That's an awfully tough thing to accept in the market and give to your fan base, but it could happen.
Terry, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Last minute of play in this podcast.
All right. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that time warning. Time now for Lickety Split Yes Guy, No Guy on the way out. Yes Guy, No Guy, number one. You like the moves. Oh, Yes Guy. Two defensemen, a lefty and a righty, and also a good fourth line center who can penalty kill, plug some holes. Don't know if it plugs all the holes, but because of the way the question was worded, I'm going to go Yes Guy on that. Yes Guy, No Guy, number two. Leafs against Boston, first round. Optimistic. No guy. Not optimistic, but that doesn't mean the Leafs can't pull off the surprise win. I just have to honestly answer the question, and that would be a no guy. How about this one? Yes guy, no guy. Here's how we'll go up. Is this team better than last year? Well, I'm going to say yes guy it is, because the core players have much more experience. The goaltending is better, and because of past playoff scars, you hope that this makes the difference. So is this team better than last year? Yes guy it is. Thanks for stopping by. Hope you enjoyed Leafs Guy episode 142, and hope you come back next week for episode 143.